the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
As I'm sure you know by now, James Vincent McMorrow played a gig at the Ivy Gardens in Dublin last night. 500 people were able to attend, but they were so well spaced out. Many people have been wondering, how would it have been possible to contract COVID from anybody else there? And there's been questions asked to whether there should have been a much bigger crowd allowed in and whether there should have been antigen testing to do a proper test as to whether that could work in similar circumstances. Let's start with Ciara O'Loughlin, reporter with independent.ie. Just explain for those who haven't been familiar now with what went on, just how spread out the audience was and how they got in and out of the Ivy Gardens.
Yeah, hi Matt, thanks so much for having me on. So yeah, basically it was, I mean, in my opinion, it was very well managed in the way it was done, you know, as you were saying, it was spread out. So the first kind of thing when you got there was staggered times for people going in. So for example, your ticket would say exactly, say, 5:35, along with maybe, you know, a few other people, just to kind of control the crowds. And then as soon as you got in, you would be brought to your pod by a steward. So you had like a number, like M8 or whatever, and you were brought there in your group. So the pods were in groups of four, and you wouldn't be in a pod without, like, you wouldn't be in a pod with people you don't know, if you get me. It's only people who you bought the tickets with. So say if there was just two of you, you'd be in a pod just with the two people. And yeah, look, they were spread out. Now, what actually I was surprised about, I kind of had this vision in my head of, you know, these metal stands that we kind of saw in other countries when they were doing concerts. It wasn't anything like that. It was just the grass, and then they had kind of like poles in between them and then markings on the ground. And then the rule was with face masks was you had to have your face masks on when you weren't in the pod. So going to the toilet, going to get a drink, you had to have your mask on.
And a non-alcoholic drink of that as well. Frowning at the idea of a beer.
Yes, a non-alcoholic drink. Unfortunately, there was just two vans. One was an ice cream van and one was a crepe van, and that was it. So, you know, if you were getting a drink, it was a Coke or a coffee.
Well, so much of an atmosphere. And this is in no way to cast any aspersions on James Vincent McMorrow and his band or his support act. But if you have, in a large outdoor area, so many people spread and put into sort of confinement, was there much crack to be had?
It was nothing like a pre-COVID concert. Definitely not. Like in between the two sets, there was like music playing and Swedish House Mafia came on. And the first thing I thought was, oh my God, like even I was sitting down on my laptop, but I was like, I feel the urge to get up and dance, you know? So it is weird. Now people could obviously dance in their pods, and they did when James Vincent McMorrow came on. But it was definitely a more subdued atmosphere. I kind of say it was fun, but like it wasn't crazy. I mean, anyone I spoke to, like I did ask, I was like, what do you think of it? Like, how do you feel about the no alcohol? Because I thought people would be really upset by that. And to be honest, everyone was in a really good mood. I think people, you know, just felt really lucky to get a ticket. I mean, there was only 500 tickets and they sold out in 30 seconds. So, you know, I think people's, I mean, definitely even myself going to it, I was delighted to go because we haven't been doing anything. You know, our expectations are low.
you mentioned as well, though, that the, you know, there was set times, staggered times for getting in. What about getting out? Because, you know, the traditional Irish exit from a concert, everyone racing for the pub. Did people have to take times? Were they allotted slots when they had to leave?
So I think what they did was, because I actually had to leave before everyone else did, was that, so the way the pods were set out, they went from the back. So even with the, if you know what I'm saying, like with the staggered times, the people who were at the back were the last ones coming in. So I think at the end what they did was coming out, it was like each pod, one after the other, if you get me.
Okay. Let's bring in Shane Dunn, a promoter and event producer. Shane, has last night's event set a template for others, or do you think there's a need to be far more ambitious in the numbers who would be let into events?
Hey, Matt. Look, I was actually there last night myself, I think, to agree with the first speaker there. Like the crowd enjoyed us, but to answer your question, it's not a workable, it's not a commercially viable template. You know, it can't work like that. There's no real difference between what we saw, I suppose, there last night and probably a normal lunchtime in the Ivy Gardens, you know, with people sitting out. Great for our industry, for the people who got to work on it, you know, great for James and for Faction, his label, and, you know, that, you know, they did it and it's a start. But without a concrete plan now, you know, without saying, okay, in 4 weeks' time, we're going to do something more akin to what was done in Sefton Park in Liverpool or what's happening this weekend, but download, you know, where we're going to test people, you know, to have a gig or an event that's much more, you know, akin to what would have been a pre-COVID event, you know, where people can actually, you know, not socially distance, go and enjoy the gig. So without that plan, which other countries have now, you know, Denmark and Belgium, all the last week or two, it's constant announcements of how people are going to go back to full capacity. We don't have that here.
Yeah,
you know,
but it seems, Shane, we're incredibly restrictive and conservative and cautious here, aren't we, in allowing people to mingle. And some people have been pointing out that, you know, the social distancing last night was so extreme by comparison with what Enfield complained about going on in South William Street a couple of weeks ago, activities which didn't lead to any surge in the COVID-19 illness in Dublin afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, you've only got to look at what will be, you know, this weekend, what will be in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre or Dundrum Town Shopping Centre, and compare that to what we saw last night in the Ivy Gardens. And that's nothing against the concert hall or the people who ran the show. They did it under the guidelines and the restrictions that they were given. You know, like, I do believe from the information we have that the government did go to NPHET and proposed antigen testing, you know, for these events, and were shot down by NPHET, you know, which I suppose begs the question as to, you know, who's actually making the decisions about industries like this and like sports and, you know, other events and conferencing and how they're going to come back. Disappointing for us as an industry. We have some of the best event producers, event managers, event controllers in the world in Ireland, and really not being trusted at all, you know, to try anything. And that's really disappointing. And, you know, we've 50 million in the budget last October, you know, from the Department of Finance. Not a penny of that has been distributed yet by the Department of Culture. We're now in the middle of June, you know, but yet we're doing 500 people socially distanced in the Ivy Garden. So disheartening, disappointing, but if it's the start of a plan, Matt, you know, if we're going to do something like a proper gig in July and then something a bit more in August and a bit more in September, then fine. It's good to see people back at work. People have had no work for 15 months in our industry. Good to see some of them earning a bit of a living last night. But it needs a plan now. It needs something ramped up, as you said, into July, into August and into September.
Professor Paul Moynagh is with us, Professor of Immunology at NUI Maynooth. Paul, there have been people who said there was a missed, wasted opportunity last night to apply antigen testing to the 500 people who were allowed into the Ivy Gardens. But alternatively, I've heard people say that there was absolutely no point because the social distancing was so extreme, the numbers were so small, that the antigen testing would almost have been redundant to find out whether it worked or not. What's your view on it?
Yeah, good evening, Matt. Certainly the risk last night from what I saw was really very, very low. So I wouldn't really see the point in terms of trialling the rapid antigen testing in that scenario, because we all know at this stage that the risk of outdoor transmission is greatly, greatly reduced relative to indoor transmission. I think 18 months into the pandemic, I don't think there's been one documented super spreading event that's been solely attributed to outdoor transmission. So I think in terms of rapid antigen testing, we need to move more towards what you consider to be higher risk environments, you know, indoor events, and begin to embrace the technology that is there, such as rapid antigen testing. And other countries, and we've heard from Shane there, that other countries are going down this road. And really, we've been very, very slow. And even, you know, I saw there a couple of weeks ago, you've now randomized controlled trials coming out in very eminent journals, in Lancet Journal, for example, showing randomized controlled trials, for example, in concerts in Barcelona, and showing that this works really, really effectively. So I think we need to begin to move very quickly and embrace the technology that is at our disposal.
So then, if we do that, what numbers could we actually try and have at outdoor events, even before we start thinking of the indoor ones?
The outdoor events, I think we've lots of flexibility. Unless it's really close face-to-face contact, I think the risk of outdoor transmission is very, very low, Matt. So I think we've got lots of flexibility with outdoor activities, outdoor events, and maybe not getting to full capacity, but maybe, you know, you're looking at maybe 50% capacity or 40 to 50% capacity. I guess the bigger risk is the activities around that, maybe in terms of getting there, public transport and things like that. But certainly in terms of the events themselves, outdoor events, the risks are very low. With respect to...
Sorry, that's interesting. I just want Paul to stop you there for a second, because there's talk, you know, the All-Ireland finals for in football and hurling in August. If you apply the 50% rule, yes, 40,000 people could go to those games and create the atmosphere which we sadly lacked in the finals last year. But could it be the issue then is the authorities wouldn't be so much worried as in people in the open air in Croke Park? It's getting on buses on the Lewis on their way towards Croke Park, having pints afterwards, mingling indoors, that that's where there could be the issue? Or would there be the issue if at that stage the majority of people are vaccinated?
Yeah, and certainly vaccination, we know vaccination as well as directly protecting those who've been vaccinated. It's certainly suppressing transmission of the virus, maybe not completely, but certainly very, very significantly. So by that stage, later on to the summer, if we're looking at All-Ireland finals, Matt, we're looking at a situation where most of the adult population is going to be vaccinated and protected. And I think we need to move and begin to think at some stage in terms of beginning to move back more towards some form of normality and accepting that vaccines do work and do protect us. And then for indoor activity, use the technology that we have in terms of where there is increased risk, use the technology that we have to try to mitigate that risk.
I actually want to ask you something slightly off topic, not enormously so. This come in. Tara in Limerick says, what do you think of the Limerick Vaccination Centre being closed tomorrow because of horse racing taking place? This follows the bones of a three-day closure last weekend to facilitate a move from the Radisson Hotel to the racecourse. With the highest incidence in the country and no other vaccination site in the county, surely a pause in the vaccination of Limerick people is madness altogether. What do you? I don't know if you're familiar with that story, but it has got developed at nationwide attention today, Paul. It seems quite bizarre, doesn't it, to shut down vaccinations for a few days in the county with the highest incidence of COVID-19 in the country.
Yeah, that does seem very strange. And certainly, you know, we want to vaccinate as many people as quickly as possible. And it's getting now into younger age groups where we're opening up, you know, the portal to those in their 30s next week, and in age groups where the level of transmission is at their highest level. So certainly anything that disrupts the rollout of the vaccine, certainly we should try to avoid that. So I'm surprised to hear that.
Stay with us, Paul Moynagh. I want to get Kieran Cunningham in, chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star. Just tell us a little bit about the sports events this weekend that will have spectators present and the numbers that will be allowed.
Well, the test events start this evening, Matt, with in rugby, Leinster against Dragons in the RDS. And then two League of Ireland games, Shamrock Rovers versus Finn Harps, the Talla Stadium in Cork City against Cabinteely at Turner's Cross. And it depends on the capacity, but you're looking between 100 to 500 people, depending on the capacity of the venues. Now, the GAA are allowing 100 from last Monday, that the GAA have allowed 100 of club games and inter-county games from south of the border. But it's very slow-moving. Like, people are very frustrated by this because, you know, as you say, like, is there any reason why we couldn't have a half-capacity Croke Park by All-Ireland final time? And that's going to be a couple of weeks after the start of the Premier League. And as things stand, the Premier League expect their full stadiums for the start of next season and all through next season. So it's very slow moving here. Like, as we stand at the moment, they're saying it would be 5,000 for the All Ireland finals. They're hoping to raise that figure, but at the moment they're leaning on a very conservative number, like 5,000 in a stadium of eight that holds 82,000 people. You know, it's hard to understand the logic behind it.
And I suppose the other thing as well is, and this was a source of much argument last year as well, Kieran, what's the situation with sort of parents and family members going to watch children or indeed other adults play sports fixtures now? Is that allowed? Because that certainly irritated an awful lot of people, that they were having to drop people off in cars and drive away or watch from outside barbed wire fences when their children were playing inside.
Yeah, well, like at every game, 100 spectators minimum are allowed at GAA games outside of those involved with the teams. So I presume they will, like, if it's an underage, you know, if you have two underage teams, they'll surely factor in that a guardian can be there for each child. So that won't be as much of an issue. It does seem to be more control now. Like, if you think last year when things opened up a little bit and some spectators are allowed, you know, you could see in some of the footage on TV and some photographs that people bunching together, you know, they weren't spaced, but there's good. They're putting far more.
But sorry, Kieran,
people being spaced out now. Yeah,
but was that the problem last year? Wasn't the problem the drinking sessions after certain matches rather than what was going on inside the grounds?
No, but there was criticism of the optics of that as well.
Sure.
No, it didn't actually, as far as I'm aware, it didn't lead to any spread of the virus. But no, there were parties after a few county finals that did lead to the spread of the virus, and that caused a problem for the GAA.
Well, one final one to you, Kieran Cunningham, though, again in relation to antigen testing, because I know Leinster Rugby have a reasonable crowd in the RDS tonight, But it had proposed to the government to do an antigen testing setup for tickets and the rest of it to try and use that as a template for the rest of the country. Any response from the sporting bodies as to why, as to their views as to not being allowed to try that?
Not officially, really, but I think there's a lot of frustration, and there's a lot of frustration around generally over the lack of antigen testing, because it is very common elsewhere. Like, even the other night, if you watched the Hungary friendly, Hungary against Ireland, there was a packed stadium. It was sold out. So people are wondering, why are we so slow here? When vaccination now is gathering pace now. The numbers are rising week on week into a pretty significant number. So I think the fact that we're just going at snail's pace is a source of huge frustration.
Okay, Kieran Cunningham, thank you for joining us. A final one to you, Professor Paul Moynagh. Based on a text in from Anya, who says, vaccination is key to opening up venues. The Delta variant now in Northern Ireland, 1 in 4 cases are Delta variant. Antigen testing doesn't find asymptomatic cases. Yes, though, there is a place for antigen testing alongside vaccination. But the point about Northern Ireland and the Delta variant, are you concerned that the Delta variant could be a major setback for us, Paul?
Well, the Delta variant, I should say, is here as well. You know, we've at least over a couple of hundred cases and probably more. They're the ones that have been sequenced and that we know about. I think the important thing to say about the variants, including the Delta variant, there's a lot of concern there that maybe it's going to, you know, evade the vaccines. The important point is that none of the variants so far have shown to be resistant to the vaccines. There is a possibility that they may evade maybe the antibody-mediated immunity, which may lead to a situation where some people may get infected subsequent to vaccination. But we haven't crossed the line in terms of people who've been vaccinated getting very severely ill with an infection. So that's really, really important. So I think it's important to say the vaccines are working really, really well, especially after the two doses. You get really, really good protection. You get good protection after the first, but even better after the second. And the vaccine, it is what's going to get us out of this, and they're working incredibly well.
Good.
So I would be very comfortable in terms of the vaccines and how effective they have been working, including against all the variants now.
Professor Paul Moynagh, thank you. Also to Ciara O'Loughlin, Shane Dunn and Kieran Cunningham, who had been with us.